for us up top.
It's possible, sure. But this also means that they must have had another base, better equipped, right? They wouldn't just jump at random. Not if they'd been here that long.
That's a reasonable assumption. So maybe we should make sure we can get back in here when we've taken a look outside, see all we can see.
Christy nodded her agreement, although the way her hair was moving closely around her neck and shoulders suggested a deep-seated unease with the developments.
Maybe their jump was to the mythical base in the north, the Promised Lands.
That is a lot of supposition, and it's possibly joining dots to form an abstract picture. But it'll do for fitting the pieces together until something better comes along.
But J.B. had spotted the hesitancy in Mildred's voice.
Why do we need to make sure we leave a way back in? If the main door is in as good condition as the rest of the redoubt...
That's the problem, John. These crazies were so keen on their center-of-the-earth theory that they made their redoubts deeper than any we've ever come across. Deep enough to protect it from quakes nearer the surface that affected other redoubts. That's why this is still in good repair, but...
But it means it's a whole lot longer of a way up, and there's no knowing what we may find, right?
Ryan fixed his steely blue eye on Mildred.
Right. And if the way is blocked, then we've got big trouble. We either risk a quick jump to God knows where this redoubt is linked to, or we stay here and gradually suffocate as the air gets poorer.
Shit choice. Guess we'll just have to find a way out.
The armorer was restless as they made their way through the darkened corridors of the redoubt toward the elevator shafts and stairwells that led to the surface.
If there are still survivors up there, then they may be able to tell us about this so-called Promised Land, if they don't try to chill us first.
Erewhon.
J.B. gave her a questioning look. She smiled at him.
Sorry, John, it's just the name that the journal gave it.
An apt name. A source of much pride to an ancient philosopher who should have known better. Would Samuel Butler smile at his Erewhon Eden being used for something that may be so apt?
Dean shot Doc a quizzical stare.
What does all that mean?
Erewhon equals nowhere, spelled backwards. Just change a few letters. It could all be so apt.
They came out into a loading bay about 40 feet square, and ill-lit by the one remaining flickering light. It was dustier than the rest of the corridors, and the temperature dropped a few degrees in the wide concrete expanse. Directly in front of them were two large elevator bays, with the tempered steel alloy doors closed. Small gatherings of dirt and dust on the floor swirled slightly in a faint draft, and collected at the point where the supposedly airtight door met. It didn't encourage a belief in the working condition of the elevators. Ryan hunkered down to feel the dirt and judge the draft.
Could be that just the seals have broken down.
Christy joined him.
Not good. This isn't just surface dirt. This is rock dust.
Ryan stood, noting that his own sense of unease was mirrored in the way Christy's hair had tightened to her skull. The one-eyed warrior examined the comp panels that had controlled the elevator. They were dead. Blank screens failing to register any signs of life, no matter how many buttons he pressed.
Guess it's the stairs and maintenance shafts, then. Good exercise.
Ryan smiled.
Guess so. Gonna be a hell of a climb, though.
Why?
These people were obsessed with getting deep into the earth, and this is much deeper than the usual redoubt. So we're going to have to climb farther.
So the sooner we get started, the better, I guess.
Dean started to look around to find the door to the emergency stairwells that were used to access a redoubt's maintenance ducts. The unassuming entrance was hidden in the dark shadows of the bay, and wasn't on the centralized comp mainframe for the redoubt. This had been a measure to ensure that parts of the redoubt could be accessed by engineers, in cases where the mainframe had gone haywire and caused a malfunction that jammed the sectors or elevators. So each door accessing the shafts on every level was notable only for having not a sec lock, but a large lever lock. For Ryan and his people trying to get out, this became irritating, as they couldn't just tap in a code, but had to blast the lock from the door and waste valuable plasex or ammo. J.B. complained bitterly to himself as he used yet more of the valuable explosive to blow the door. He had hoped that the armory would replenish his stocks, but was still sorely disappointed by what they had found. The door blew, swinging noisily on dry hinges. Coming forward to the dark hole that the stairwell formed, Ryan peered upward, his good eye trying to focus through the stinging dust. Form took shape in the blackness.
Still some kind of stairs or ramp, and it looks intact for as far as I can see. We'll spread out and take it at 20-yard intervals. J.B., you're last. I'll go first.
With that, Ryan stepped into the darkness. It was crushingly claustrophobic in the service shaft. There was no way of seeing which way was up and which down. There was no way of telling where the ceiling lay and how far in front there was actually a floor left. Ryan kept a hand out to his left, his fingertips brushing the side of the stairwell shaft so that he had some kind of bearing. To his right may have been a wall or a sheer drop as he continued upward. The air was fresher, suggesting that somewhere above them was access to the surface that was letting in air untreated by the redoubt's defective conditioning plant. The problem with this was that a gap or hole letting in untreated air suggested that there had been a landslide of some kind. That in turn suggested the unpleasant thought that the shaft may be unstable. In the enclosed dark, Ryan could hear his combat boots on the concrete, coming down in measured tread, with only the occasional skittering of small stones, concrete chips, and gravel beneath his feet. Behind him, he could hear Christy, treading delicately on the concrete, measuring each step for danger. Her silver-tipped cowboy boots made a higher note on the sounding board of the concrete. Her breathing, like his, was slow and measured. Jack was inaudible, despite being third in line and only 40 yards behind Ryan in the enclosed darkness. The albino had uncanny hunting instincts and was able to move in silence amid the most impossible conditions. Doc in the middle was even more audible than Christy. Despite his tenacious strength, the battering of time travel and torture had told heavily on Doc's reserves of stamina and the way in which he could cope with such obstacles. His feet shuffled, his sword stick tapping rhythmically on the concrete floor. His breathing was regular, but hard and rasping. Dean, behind Doc, was out of hearing range, but Ryan could feel his son's impatience, lest Doc slow too much and leave the party falling too far behind. With Mildred bringing up the rear, Ryan knew he could rely on her to be on hand to help Doc, and the JB would keep things together. So far, Ryan had resisted the urge to either call out to his people or to use one of the precious flares that he carried. Like so much other salvage tech, the flares were inclined to be erratic when set off, and sometimes could fail to ignite, or would explode with enough force to take off the hand of whoever tried to ignite them. Ryan decided to speak in a low tone that he hoped would carry sufficiently to the back of the strung-out group.
Listen up. I'm going to light a flare, see what the fire-blasted hell is in front of us. So no one jump when the lights go on.
He had been unwilling to raise his voice. Since entering the service shaft and stairwell, they had all maintained silence, broken only by the odd whispered word of warning to the immediate follower if there was an obstruction on the path that could cause injury, a raised piece of concrete that could turn an unwary ankle and hold them all up. Without a wreck of the shaft ahead, there was no way of knowing if a sudden noise would set off a collapse of some kind, so they had all kept quiet. But the risk of startled exclamations and shouts when the flare went off was a greater risk than Ryan's hoarse cry.
You okay, lover?
Ryan nodded, forgetting the dark.
Just about. But we need to see what's ahead.
He took the flare from the canvas bag that was slung on the opposite shoulder from his stire. The flare spluttered twice, small sparks illuminating Ryan's concerned, concentrated visage before seeming to die off. Then, when he was almost at the point of giving up, it suddenly hissed and sputtered into life, throwing a phosphorus glare around the shaft. Looking back over his shoulder, Ryan could see his companions in a line behind him, all adjusting their eyes to the sudden light. He could also see the way in which the shaft was constructed. Reinforced concrete beams supported the roof and lined the walls at regular intervals. Also regular, but falling in between the beams, was a series of graduated steps, each forming a platform of about 25 feet in length, some of which were irregularly raised. Doc observed this, taking the brief opportunity to halt for a moment's rest.
Most ingenious. Not steps, but neither is it a ramp. The slightest movement of the earth will merely alter the one platform, rather than stress and crack a complete ramp, or break a fixed staircase.
Ryan looked at his wrist clock. They had been progressing up for nearly an hour. The incline was gradual, and the shaft had a slight bend to it. Looking ahead, he could see that the platforms were a little more uneven, suggesting earth disturbance. But all the columns appeared to be intact. He noted that the width of the tunnel was less than he had supposed, and it would have been possible for him to stand in the middle with both arms extended and touch the sides. From the elapsed time and the gradation of the tunnel, he suspected that they still had a long way to go.
Okay, now we know where we're going, let's go.
A flare would last 20 minutes, the last five showing a fading light, so Ryan knew that they had been walking for over 15 minutes when they came to a sharp corner, the first they had encountered. But even by the fading light, he could see that it wasn't a constructed corner.